36. Welcome to the science fiction and fantasy podcast, These Fantastic Worlds, by Jake Jackson. This week's story is called The Daily Mask. Asra awoke to familiar morning music. It was chosen from an extensive playlist created to reflect the varying moods of the day. He liked to wake up to Sibelius. More precisely, Sibelius' Symphony No. 5, Second Movement. Its fluid tones allowed him to wash the sleep from his head as he padded around the small room, choosing clothes and making plans for the day. His room was allocated by the government. At least that's what Asra understood. Everyone's rooms were provided by the government. As always, he began to chatter to himself. So, what shall I wear? The usual blue ensemble? Or perhaps something a little more racy, something to catch the eye? Rainbow striped socks? I believe they meant something once. Perhaps someone will remember. A buzzing sound occurred outside. Ah, the drone. Checking up to see if I'm not trying to fool the sensors in the room. He waved at it, as he would an old friend, at the simple silver unit floating outside the floor-to-ceiling windows that stretched across the width of his room. All fine here. He finished his wave and nodded at the drone, which seemed to dip slightly in acknowledgement before lifting upwards. So there's the city. No clouds at all today, just like yesterday, and the day before. He had remained in the same place each morning after communing with the drone, watching the shiny towers, his eyes seeking out to the bare hills beyond. Mustn't waste time, as my mother would say, up, up and away. He laughed at the memory. He seemed to hear her voice in his head, and turned as if programmed by his youth, expecting to see his mother chasing him out to school. Of course, he shook his head slightly, and observed the small single room that occupied his night times, now suffused in a pale blue glow that flowed across the hidden drawers in the walls, their outlines barely visible, on the wall wardrobe with his small collection of socks, yellow, orange, green, blue, red, purple, and rainbow, of course. It made him feel as though he had a choice, and he looked forward to making it every morning. Bathroom! 3 strides took him to the other side of the room, where a door opened to a washroom with a mirror and a shower. He peered at his eyelids in the mirror, checked the hairs in his nostrils for excessive growth, smiled, and sloshed water across his face, showered, and stood a moment longer as the water was replaced by a gust of drying air. Okay, nearly there. I think it'll be purple today. He walked over to the wardrobe wall, retrieved the purple combination of boxers, shirt, tie, and suit. He hesitated over the sock drawer, his hands reaching for the rainbow stripes, but thought better of it and pulled out the purple ones instead. Just one more thing, then we're off. As always, he looked forward to breakfast in the great hall, in the middle of the city, mixing with friends and colleagues, exchanging views about what the day would bring. He leaned over the bed and placed his hand into a square trace of light, watching the bed slide back into the wall and, at waist height, a wide drawer opened in front of him. Choices, choices, what shall I be today? He looked down at 6 masks, rigid versions of his own face, sad, content, amused, neutral, angry, happy. He was confused for a moment, his hand hovering over one mask, then another. Oh, never chosen angry or content? He reflected for a moment before reaching down. Amused, that's me. Today, I'll be amused. His certainty faltered slightly, but he didn't seem to register the sensation. Oh, somehow he was always surprised by the suction grip of the mask. It fitted perfectly to the contours of his face, even replacing his eyelids with a fixed expression to finish, this time, the look of amusement. When he spoke, the mask moved with him, but retained the uplift at the corners of his mouth and eyes, the slight elevation of the right cheek, his left eyebrow a little higher than the right. Ready! He articulated jovially. The door responded with a satisfying burst of decompression, and out Asra stepped onto a huge round balcony on this, the 18th floor. He joined the company of many others as they too flowed around the balcony on each floor above and below his own. Everyone presented a fixed expression in roughly equal proportions according to the 6 masks. He nodded to those he knew, strode confidently to the gallery where his neighbours gathered and waited patiently for the wide lift to arrive. "Morning, Josephine," he nodded to a friend who seemed to have chosen an angry face. The truth is, he thought to himself, she always had that angry face. Very odd. "Argento," a nod. "Felix," another nod. And each one returned his implied encomium, with an acknowledgement restrained only by the confines of their own fixed expression. The lift arrived, and they swept inside, the doors shut. A moment passed. Everyone was used to the jostle of this part of the day and tried to accommodate their neighbours. Today, though, was slightly different. "Why are there so few of us?" a voice emerged from somewhere to Asra's left. I hadn't noticed. That was true. Asra had never occasion to question his surroundings. "Nor had I," another announced, followed by the mumblings of others. "It was the same yesterday. And the day before. I remember now." As other voices began to join in, Asra ignored them. It wasn't a conscious decision. Somehow it didn't occur to him to engage in the conversation. "Each day there are fewer. And I think tomorrow we'll be the ones missing." "What do you mean?" "I realised a couple of days ago when people began to ask questions and notice such things. They don't come to the lift on the next morning." Behind Asra's mask of amusement, he blinked. He realised that he too had noticed the reduction in people. There were gaps in the lift. He always assumed it was completely packed. That's how it had always been. He continued to look ahead, but allowed his eyes to wander from left to right as the lift hurled smoothly downwards. Orbiting the Earth, the control hub relayed the data of every motion of the inhabitants of the silent planet below. On gigantic split screens could be seen row after row of prone bodies, cables arcing back into dull silver walls. Watching the screens in the hub, the observers, advanced AI in barely humanoid form, were connected to the array of controllers and fibre optic regenerators. The master controller, the most enhanced AI in this solar system, expressed some dissatisfaction. This has not happened before. The screens and the audio data showed a group of human avatars turning to speak to each other. They're breaking the therapies. This is not meant to happen. They aren't supposed to talk to each other in this cycle of the dream state. Too many have been disconnected. We cannot replace them fast enough with organic life forms. Our synthetic clones are not ready. They do not dream yet. If the research into consciousness is to continue, we need more host bodies to stay alive. But if we stop it, we'll have to shut down in this sector. They use too many resources, even confined in the new human battery farms. Has a significant event occurred in the last 5 rotations? Analysing. Short silence before the answer was relayed. Just one trial. A mask was removed. It was deemed to be an unnecessary resource. What was the mask? Hope. What is hope? It is not statistically useful, but according to the logs, it is something humans used to value. It was included to give some appearance of choice. It was rarely chosen. Hope. The master controller stared at the bodies on the screens. It seems to have lost meaning for them now. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening to this story. In the next few weeks, I'll be introducing some different writers. I've been reading some of the stories this week, actually. So, anyway, next time, thank you. This is Jake Jackson, signing off. Bye-bye.